Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. I'm so happy football season's here. Right? Just how great was last weekend watching all those college games? How amazing is it going to be tomorrow night when you're sitting down and you're like, ha, Cowboys, Buccaneers? The Buccaneers being champions is weird. Like, let's just be honest, it's weird. But, okay, Tom Brady winning another championship, that's kind of feels very normal. Football is here. Nothing is more synonymous with football than, well, a couple of things, right? The hype of the Cowboys, that's a yearly. The thought that Tom Brady can go to another Super Bowl, that's okay. The desire and expectation for Aaron Rodgers to finally get to a second Super Bowl. Russell Wilson, I'm going to predict, I don't even know how that game is going to play out, but I know how the game is going to play out. Russell Wilson had the ball scrambling around, trying to score a touchdown at the end of the game against the Colts, or maybe a field goal. Right? Sunrise in the East and sets in the West, and Ben Roethlisberger is full of it. He just is, you know? You know, how many years has Ben Roethlisberger like, well, you know, maybe I'll hang him up. I'm so injured. Big Ben's always a so injured guy. And now Big Ben doing the reason I took less money was because of TJ Watt. It's just, again, Ben Roethlisberger is, I believe he'll be a Hall of Famer, right? If we tell the story accurately, the first Super Bowl he won, Antoine Rendell actually threw the best pass. But the first Super Bowl he won, he's more facilitator. Second Super Bowl he won, he was really good. Right? He found Santonio Holmes, right, in the back of the end zone after Kurt Warner had the Cardinals take the lead. So he's got two Super Bowls. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's an all-time great. But he got hurt 2 years ago and missed the year with like Tommy John surgery. And last year, he wasn't very good. And had his contract not been one where they could get out of it, he wouldn't be playing this year. But they owed him a bunch of money, and the only way to have him back was to take less money. Like, the only way. So meanwhile, Big Ben, in an effort to tout T.J. Watt as one of the best players in football, take a listen to what he said.
I think T.J. should get whatever the heck he wants. He's arguably the best football player in the game right now, not just on defense, just in general. You know, I've been through a few negotiations here with contracts. One of the reasons I took less money was for guys like him to get paid, and he needs to get paid. He deserves every penny that he wants and asks for. You know, T.J. Watt is that guy that should get whatever he wants.
Now, T.J. Watt and what he's and the contract dispute or negotiation that he's in is no different than pretty much any Steeler. Like, this is actually, Steeler fans are like, yeah, you can set your watch to it. The team drafts really well, gets a player, he achieves, he wants a big contract, and oftentimes they move on from him. All right? But TJ does all the little things, doesn't skip practice, doesn't even do the hold-in thing where he's, I'm going to show up but not work out. All right? But the Big Ben, like, that's why I took less money to free up cast space. Like, you didn't have a choice, dude. I just, those little lines are the fake self, the fake martyrdom. And that's the only way I can try. The fake martyrdom of, yeah, you know, this is why I took less money for TJ Watt. Yeah, I'm sure, Ben. Absolutely. You're like, well, I could make everything that I'm owed, but you know what? I'm going to take less for TJ Watt. That is not Ben Roethlisberger. There'll be three or four or five times a year, he'll say something odd at a press conference. in which he tries to sound like a dude of the people, a guy who just one of the guys. But the truth is that when you've done it as long as Ben's done it, we've seen like this is not. And I, again, I don't think he's a bad guy, but like this is why I took less money. Ah, this is it for other guys. No, you sucked last year and they didn't really want you back. And there are a bunch of quarterbacks on the market. And they basically told you as such, like, you dude, you gotta take a massive haircut. If you do, we'll bring you back. We'll reconfigure your deal. We'll spread that money around. But it wasn't like a voluntary thing. No, guys, I don't want top dollar. Give me less so TJ can get money. Right? Give me less. That's not even how it works. That's the part about it. Like, could they slide some into this year's salary cap? Yeah, but they're much more likely to put it on next year when everyone expects the salary cap to dramatically increase. I don't know. Like I do feel like we can set our watch to the Aaron Rodgers would be surly. Ben Roethlisberger will be fake humble, right? And Tom Brady will end up in the Super Bowl. That's what it, Russell Wilson be running around in a backfield. We can set our watch. We've seen these guys. It's not like we don't have much of a sample size. Go and look at Ben Roethlisberger's career, and this is just kind of who he is. Now, he's a much better version of himself than he used to be back before what happened in Georgia and back before Lake Tahoe and before he went over the handlebars of his motorcycle. And I'm not sitting here telling you that he's like a horrible guy. He's not. I'm not telling you he's not a great football player. He was. He's not a great football player now. And the only reason they cut his salary was they're paying him the most they can pay him, even though his performances waned dramatically over the past couple of years. That is Ben Roethlisberger 101. And he does this all the time. The fake humble stuff, the fake generosity stuff, like, just, yeah, you could have said, and even the anything he wants. I think he should get anything he wants. You know? No, you don't. No one thinks the guy should get anything. That's just a ridiculous statement. And I understand that. I'm not taking it literally. I'm taking it as Big Ben. And TJ is widely considered a top 10 player in the NFL. But Ben knows what he's doing. I'm sure he wants TJ to make it hurt because he's mad they took back some of his money. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and the signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't, paid for by NHTSA. All right, so Ben Roethlisberger is going to start for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, we're going to have more aged quarterbacks as they continue to play into their late 30s and early 40s. Led by Tom Brady, you'd expect at some point Russell Wilson to be 40, running around back there, not nearly as quickly, but running around. Mac Jones, on the other hand, did he push Cam into retirement? And oh yeah, by the way, Mac Jones says he's still using Cam Newton as a mentor. But should he be? We'll discuss his role next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. So there's a new discussion about Cam Newton, and it leads us to this question, right? Which is, will Cam Newton catch on with the team? And my guess is, again, I don't think he will. I don't think he's going to be a backup. Not because he doesn't want to be a backup. I mean, that's part of it, doesn't want to be a backup. But because the job of a backup is to get the starter ready. You got to know everything about the offense. And I don't think Rob Ninkovich said that to be because he didn't like Cam, you know, or there's some sort of vendetta, or he wanted to promote Mac. I think it was just, look, this is what dudes are saying. Like, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me about how great he is, but he was struggling to pick up the offense, which is what it looked like last year. So they simplified it, but that's not how they really want to play. The offense doesn't fit him, but also the learning curve. And if you looked at how he played in Carolina, it was kind of one way. And I've told people this before, that Ron Rivera has passed multiple times on the opportunity to get Cam Newton. And while it may not matter to every GM, there is just a sense at some point like, gosh, Ron Rivera would rather have Kyle Allen than have Cam Newton. Ron Rivera would rather have, you know, he had to, I guess, had to stick with Dwayne Haskins for a portion of time. But remember last year, they were still searching for a quarterback. They went out and got Ryan Fitzpatrick. They could have gotten Cam Newton. He was a free agent this year. He signed for $3.5 million. Like, that's not a lot. Couldn't learn the offense, and he can't throw. Other than that, sounds like a great quarterback.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
And Doug, the U.S. Ryder Cup team is now set. Steve Stricker making his six captains picks. Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Scotty Scheffler, Tony Finau, and Harris English rounding out that American squad. Back to you.
Wait, so give me the squad one more time.
So the six players already qualify. And so Stricker had his six captains picks today. And those picks were Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Scotty Scheffler, Tony Finau, and Harris English.
So who is the biggest name to, I mean,
not make the team?
Yeah.
Two names stood out. Patrick Reed did not make the team. And Kevin Na was actually one of the names that people thought Kevin maybe Na. played his way in over these past couple of weeks, especially at the
Steve
Tour
Stricker
Championship.
Said, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Kevin? Nah. So those were the two big names. Reed, a stellar Ryder Cup player, but if you remember, recently was in the hospital with what he calls double pneumonia and was battling that. Did play in the Tour Championship, but also at the last Ryder Cup, there were reports that, you know, he kind of threw Jordan Spieth under the bus, threw some other players under the bus, and so Reed didn't make it this time.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, that's when is the Ryder Cup?
Comes up at the end of the month. So, yeah, just
where?
Gosh, at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Yeah, just north of Sheboygan.
Still not as big as Dan Beyer and what he was able to accomplish out of that part of the state.
You know, still not even a notable person on Wikipedia in my hometown, which is a bit disappointing.
Who is
what
a
can you do?
Notable person on your Wikipedia?
We don't really, well, we have like about 12, and I know one of the guys. That's it. Paul Jesperson.
Mm.
Paul played at Virginia for a while.
Then UW-Green Bay?
No, Northern Iowa. And
Northern
he's
Iowa,
the one that broke Texas's heart with a half-court winner.
Right.
Yeah, in the first round of
the NCAA. They lost the next game, right?
Yeah, they blew that big lead against A&M.
Yes, they played Texas and beat them and then blew the big lead. Texas had a big lead and then they had to come back in a miracle win. And then they blew the lead the next game to A&M.
And it was a big lead. Like, we're talking like 11 17? Points, I think, with a minute left. Yeah, it was rough. But all we care to talk about is what happened in the first.
Yeah, forget that. Forget the other. Forget how it ended.
Exactly.
Let's
want to talk about the half quarter.
Let's get to the win. Weekend NFL game you're most excited to see?
I like Browns Chiefs, as we talked about earlier, as a Seahawks fan, but I also just think pure curiosity that Seahawks Colts has so many storylines with Carson Wentz playing, with the new-look Seahawks offense under Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator. That's going to be a 1 o'clock Eastern time kick. I think that Colts-Seahawks is a sneaky good game for two teams that have big aspirations this year.
Colts-Seahawks, sneaky good game. I would agree with you. I wouldn't be the one that I was looking forward to the most. Like, you know, there's a bunch, right? Pittsburgh-Buffalo is fascinating. I do think Carolina and the Jets is interesting. I'm big on the, you know, part of the Chargers in Washington. I don't like Washington. A lot of people think they'll win the NFC East, but more than anything, what do the Chargers have to rebuild? Their offensive line. What is the strength of the Washington football team? Their defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get any great. You're getting thrown into the deep end. playing on the road, 10 a.m. Local time, you know, you're not local time, 10 a.m. back home start, and taking on the Washington football team who made the playoffs last year.
There's,
I think that game's big.
Yeah, yeah. There's you could even argue. Oh, well, no, you shouldn't say you can argue, but, you know, Eagles-Falcons isn't like a marquee game. But I'd sure be interested to see what Jalen Hurts does or if Matt Ryan looks any different under Arthur Smith. I wouldn't put that in my top five, but I'm just saying maybe it's because it's week one and everything is new. But there's, yeah, there are a lot of just intriguing matchups. It's funny because Bears-Rams for me on Sunday night does absolutely nothing. Maybe if Justin Fields was starting, but, I mean, yeah.
Well, that one's the new stadium. That's the new stadium game.
Yeah. Right?
And part of it is we're so bored by the Bears offense. You know, that's really what it is. If it was Justin Fields, you'd be like, I'm in. It's Andy Dalton, like, right?
Yeah, completely.
It's one player difference.
Stafford is, yeah, it's unique, but I think that we expect the Rams to win that game anyway. So
how many times do they mention the ribbon scoreboard, which is like the two-sided thing? Yeah,
what is it, the Oculus? Is that what they call it, or is that somewhere else? I thought, I'm sure it's
Oculus Prime. Like all of a sudden they're in the stadium and it transforms into like a Decepticon.
It's, you know, you're right. It's the new stadium.
Am I a dork for knowing that it's Decepticons? For getting that, Ryan, is that the dorkiest thing you've ever heard me say? I know it's a Decepticon.
So, but I'm fine with it. I approve. That's okay. Good job.
Think about it. The Rams have second straight year they've opened up on Sunday night because it was them and the Cowboys opening up that stadium. It's like the NFL wanted to give SoFi and Allegiant Stadium like do-overs on their openers because
that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, of course, Jerry was one of the guys that pushed for it all to happen. So the Cowboys will open it for the Chargers next week.
And the right? Raiders are home to the Ravens on Monday night. So
the Ravens and the Raiders. Raiders. Yes. The Raiders. I gotta tell you, like Marshall Faulk is gonna join us in like 4 minutes. We'll get to him. I want to go back to something that happened. I don't even know what day is today. Is it Wednesday?
Yeah,
the Notre Dame game. Was that Sunday?
Yes.
When you have like 3 day weekends, you know, and then you got a game on Thursday, you get kind of screwed up. Now, when Brian Kelly, you have it, Ramos. Here we go. When Brian Kelly said this after Notre Dame's escape victory, take a listen.
What did you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
Yeah, you know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. I mean, we just didn't execute very well.
Yeah, so look, he tried to do the John McKay, you know, coach, what'd you think of your team's execution? John McKay, I'm in favor of it, right? If you know football, that's the joke. This is one of those things to where you're like, why do we need guys broadcasting or women broadcasting that have a historical knowledge of the sport? That's exactly why. Like, he tried to set up the joke and had the punchline at the same time, and it wasn't really smooth. But like, I knew the line he was getting to. Byer, do you know the line he was kind of getting to when he said
yeah,
it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Are you at all surprised at how many people did not?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yes.
Like Chris Fowler didn't know what he was talking about.
And it even in like reading more up about it, I think the John McKay, you know, being attributed to him was the most famous one, but it's been used a lot in history, or at least more often than I realized, and went back like 100 years. So
yes, yes, yes. I mean, I try to tell people that I had heard that line. There's a famous old basketball coach, right? Who that line was I thought was attributed to him. And I'm just surprised that how many people didn't know it, right? I thought it was an Abe Lemons quote. And maybe Abe Lemons did use it, and then John McKay used it as well, right? Where all these lines are used over time. But I thought, like, Chris Fowler, like, overreacting to it, like, Chris, you don't know that line? You didn't know what he was talking about? And did anybody actually think he was in favor of executing his team? We really need to get lives and a sense of humor if we think that's the case. Really need to get lives and a sense of humor. So,
just a bad joke teller is what Brian Kelly is. Okay, you know, I sat in for you on Monday, Doug, and it's just, You know, you got friends who are just, no matter what they say, is funny, or they can just, they're just funny
guys. Yeah,
there's
guys. Some people that aren't funny. You're not good at being funny.
And there are guys who are the exact opposite, and that's kind of how I feel how Brian Kelly is.
Yeah.
Not that he's got a bad personality or a bad guy, but there's just guys that are funny and guys that aren't, and I don't think that he is. And that was his mistake there.
Yeah, I also think that, there's also guys that not only try and tell jokes, there's guys that, people that try and do voices. You heard somebody that tries to do a voice imitation,
yes.
And they can't do it, but they're so sure that they do it, and they're like, and they're laughing halfway through it.
Yes, I do.
Well, do you have somebody in mind that you'd like to sell out?
No. Do I have people in mind? Absolutely. Do I want to sell them out? No. No, I don't.
John, Ramos, do you do any voices? Is that who he's talking?
No, about? He's not talking about me.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Marshall Faulk will join us in a second. You can check out Bet Online for updated Super Bowl conference division and awards odds, plus win totals for each team, week one lines, and a plethora of fun props on every game. He should have won the Heisman Trophy when he was at San Diego State. He is a Hall of Famer. He did win a Super Bowl. He's Marshall Faulk. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I don't know. It feels, maybe it was because we had such a good weekend of college football, and I'm sure it's because we didn't have fans in the stands for most of the games last year. Feels like there's a lot of buildup to Thursday and Sunday. What are your thoughts on the buildup to this NFL season, which kicks off in about 27 hours?
Oh, yeah, man. Looking forward to it. There's a lot of buildup around this season, obviously. And no doubt, Doug, we get fans back in the stadium. You know, that's going to be electric, having that aspect of the game back. Whoever thought that we'd play an NFL season without fans, but who would ever thought a pandemic would do what it did to us? But anyways, this game Thursday night, it's huge. You literally have Tom Brady, who's carrying the league right now. The guy is carrying the league, an opportunity. And I think this puts him in, he's already in that rare air, but it puts him in, you know, even more rare air when you think about if he takes another team back-to-back, it's crazy to fathom it. But that's the opportunity that he has, and then the whole state of Texas rests on that. And when you think about it, people forget. Like, it wasn't long ago that Dallas didn't want to pay Dak his money, but now it all rests on Dak. So we have that, the start of the season, Thursday night kickoff, just looking forward to what we have, man. Happy football is back.
Okay, so 1999, people forget, like, when you started your careers with the Colts, right? So it's your first year with the Rams, and then Kurt comes in, obviously because of injury, and you guys win a Super Bowl. The next year, 2000, right? You guys had kind of turned the entire league upside down with the greatest show on turf. What do you remember about the next year? Like, kicking off the start. And by the way, even though you guys didn't win the Super Bowl the next year, I believe you were the MVP the next year. But what was it like to try and come back and win it again?
It's challenging. And the hardest part is for that head coach to get every player, the new ones and the old ones who won it, because you have some new guys, to get them to refocus and go out and remember that they have to earn it again. And some guys, if you've never won and you've never been the reason why teams win, it's easy to lose focus and think about what last year was like and how it happened. And that's the struggle. That's literally the struggle. When coaches can get guys to buy in and get back, that's why I tell people what dynasties have done who won Super Bowls is one thing. But what the Buffalo Bills did, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, four straight Super Bowls, that was crazy, right? Like, it's the greatest dynasty that nobody talks about, is they went to four straight Super Bowls. And who knows what happens? Who knows what happens if Norwood makes the kick? That was the first year, right? Like, could be a completely different narrative if he makes the kick.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. You know, so, we put so much on winning the Super Bowl, but, you know, and we talk about getting back. And just look at how many teams get back after they lose. Unbelievable.
What? So now with you guys, if I remember correctly, a lot of it was the defense, right? But what changed? What changed from the year where you guys just thoroughly whooped up on the league to the second year, which, again, you had a great year, but the team was 10-6, and then you lost to the Saints in the playoffs.
Yeah, we lost our identity a little bit.
Oh, okay.
On defense. People thought just because we put up points that our defense wasn't what it was, but defense was pretty darn good. You know, we had top 10 defense. London Fletcher, you know, wasn't there. We were missing parts. We were just missing key parts that wasn't there. And so, you know, when you miss those key parts and you don't replace them, and then Kurt, I think he broke his thumb.
Yeah.
So he missed some games. But it was good because Trent came in and we won some games. And then I got banged up a little bit. You got to be healthy. Things got to go right. And it didn't. It did not for us. You know, it did not go right for us.
Marshall Faulk, Hall of Fame running back, joining us, the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's talk. Zeke Elliott, right? A couple years ago, it felt like they could, when he got suspended, their season went to pot, right? But he hadn't really been the same. He hadn't been the same dominant guy. Now, he's different from you and how you played. But what are your thoughts on Zeke and what he needs to do to get back to the level of dominance of a couple years ago?
He did it. And I'm going to put it out there. The guy that you see this season is the Zeke that you've always seen. I think last year, COVID and all of that, it got a lot of people. I mean, professional athletes who have the best mindset ever. It took a toll on a lot of people. And the rededication, he's lean. I mean, he looks really good, man. I look forward to what Zeke is going to do this season. And I think last season, you know, it was, okay, play yourself into where you need to be and be ready down the stretch. And when they lost Dak, and then they lost Zach Martin, and they lost Tyron, and all of a sudden you have a subpar offensive line out there, you getting hit in the backfield, and you're the number one draft on everybody's fantasy team. It's humbling. It's humbling. And I just can't wait to see. I can't wait to see the guy out there eating this Thursday.
No, it's great. The offensive line part is really interesting because, I mean, obviously you had Orlando Pace over on the left side. You guys had a great one. And I do wonder, though, if the Cowboys, a little of our judgment is based upon their line of like 3 years ago. Like the line isn't the same as it was 3 years ago, right?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. And here's the thing, Doug. It can't be. Think about when they had a young Dak and they had a young Zeke, their money was in their offensive line.
Yeah.
And now think about what Zeke's making. Think about what Dak's making. Think about what Cooper's making. The money's not in the offensive line.
No, the money's in the skill positions, and you know,
yeah,
and sprinkle all over, and you know, you do on some level get what you pay for.
This is it. So now, you know, you have to learn how to be effective with a offensive line that plays well together, not the best offensive line that's playing in the league, and so. That's what he's ready to show people.
Marshall, great catching up with you, man. Love talking football, both in person and when you join us. Our thanks to BetOnline for updated Super Bowl, conference, division, and awards odds, wins, totals, plus each team week one lines, and a plethora of fun props on every game. That's BetOnline. Great stuff, Marshall. Thanks for joining us.
I don't know.
All right, that's Marshall Faulk, who should have won the Heisman Trophy, right? Like the two guys that should have won the Heisman Trophy in my lifetime. And Byer, you can speak to this as well.
I'm the dominant.
Oh, sorry, Byer's doing other stuff. Is Ndamukong Suh and Marshall Faulk. Like, it's just, those guys are the best. Is the worst supposed to be for the best football players, and those are the best football players that year. One analyst doesn't think Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. No, it's not Rob Parker. It's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show rolls on Fox Sports Radio. I think there's things in life that you either like or you don't like, you're into or you're not into, right? It's really interesting. Like, all the people I've talked to about going on a bunch of roller coasters yesterday, there are people who are just not into them. You're like, man, I can't do that stuff. And I think it's like it's definitely a mind over matter thing. Right? Mind over matter completely. I just don't see it as anywhere near as dangerous or the possibility of an accident like that, of like jumping out of a plane. But you'd be weird if you showed, like, man, I went on a bunch of roller coasters. Like, I can't do that. More discussion on that to come. First, though, let's get to what the Fox said.
What does the Fox say?
Every day this time, the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1. Here's Shannon Sharp on Undisputed, reacting to The Atlantic naming Tom Brady the greatest football player of all time.
But Skip, I will give The Athletic credit. We have the same top four. We just have them in different order. I have Jerry 1. I put LT 2. I put Tom Brady 3. I have Jim Brown 4. The reason why I put Jerry numbers in an era in which they ran the football is so far ahead of the second and third best. It's not even close, Skip. The 22,000 receiving yards, the 197 touchdowns. He's 5,000 yards clear of the next closest, which is Larry Fitzgerald, who's currently doing radio. He's 41 receiving touchdowns ahead of the next closest, which is Randy Moss, who's been retired for 8 years. He's 51 more total touchdowns than the next closest. That's Moss and T.O. He has 32 more touchdowns than Emmitt Smith. And you was in Emmitt in prime, and you know how many touchdowns Emmitt scored every year. And he kept every last one of those. I put Jerry first.
There's two sides to it, okay? Side one to the argument is the one that that Shannon made. The flaw to that argument is he didn't touch the ball every play, right? And as good or as great as Jerry was, it wasn't like you need so many other pieces, so many other things going your way. LT, I think you could make the case for dominant as to his position. The quarterback touches the football every play. The quarterback's involved in calling the play, reading the defense, changing the play, changing the protections, like all those different things. There is no, it really isn't close in terms of the level of involvement, level of importance of position. And I think everybody kind of knows that, even if he's right. Now, here's the real, if you want the real knockout punch to anyone's argument about Jerry Rice playing in an era that doesn't throw it as often as they throw it now, that's almost kind of the point, right? It's almost kind of the point. The point is that the Niners were ahead of times. Their offense was so good that people continue to copy it on some level, the West Coast offense. How many times do you hear people say the West Coast offense? Who invented that? Bill Walsh, arguably the greatest coach of all time, offensive coach of all time. So while if you want to say that Jerry Rice is the greatest player of all time, you have to keep in mind he played for arguably the greatest coach of all time, or maybe the greatest coach or offensive coach of that era. Parcells in that discussion is greatest coach of that era as well. They were ahead of the curve. They were throwing when others were only running or running more often. And so the numbers in comparison spike because they threw it more or their pass game was so much more advanced. Now, here's the argument to help Jerry Rice is there was a lot more contact on guys. It was, and when you went over the middle, and Jerry didn't go over the middle a ton, when you went over the middle, guys were taken off your head. So I don't think Jerry Rice is the great. I think he's in that group of unquestionably best player at his position. Right? Like Ronnie Lott, best safety ever, by the way, on the same team as Jerry Rice. In terms of outside linebacker, that's LT. It's not really close. Like those are the guys where you could start and end every conversation as the best of all time in their position. And that's a very powerful thing. But not touching the ball on every play, not having the level of impact on every play, not being the signature player, even for his team, as great as he was, Joe Montana was the signature player. And Bill Walsh was a signature coach. I'm going to disagree with him on that. That's what the Fox said. When a train hits a vehicle railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. If signals are going, don't be tempted. Try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't, paid for by NHTSA. Byer, you're doing the highlights, or not the highlights, the score update.
Sure.
For Tampa. Did you realize they're not even averaging 9,000 people a game?
Mm.
That's Jeez. Incredible.
Yeah. I saw the Orioles last night only had like 4,000.
Yeah, but they suck.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I know. But
right? Like the Tampa Bay Rays are 88-51 yeah. in the best division in baseball.
You know, we were talking, Greg Aumann came on from The Athletic yesterday while you were riding Batman and the roller coasters. And, yes. and I asked him, I go, what is the feeling around the city? Because the Tampa area gets such a bad rap because of the Rays. That was how I
Oh, that's how you ask the question. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah,
no, that's okay. You can rip it apart. I've asked worse.
No, I'm just saying you're being nice. People go like, Tampa gets a bad rap. Like, no, they don't. We have like 20 years of data. 20 years of data. And you're like, well, the stadium stinks. Like, okay. Like, you got the best team in baseball.
Sure. And the best team in hockey. You know, so like they love the Lightning. And he said that, yeah, I mean, like, it's the Buccaneers are a hot ticket. I mean, honestly, I think it's just that facility for the Rays, but that that's got to be the issue because the Rays went to the World Series. Like, their success is pretty darn amazing for what they've done over the last, you know, 13 years or so from when they first made the World Series in 08. But the Bucs seem to have quite the following in talking about the season tickets being sold out and with the Super Bowl champions. Then you have the Lightning, who are very, very popular, but the Rays just can't do it, and it's got to be because of that place.
Well, Miami has a beautiful brand-new stadium. They average 7,900 people a game.
Sure. I don't know how well the Panthers do. You know, I know the Dolphins are...
I don't think it's the building. I think they just don't care about baseball. It's just not a baseball... It's just not a professional baseball area. It's just not. They're not going to... It has to be the only team in the history of professional sports that is consistently, over the past couple of years, really successful. Hell, they went to the World Series last year.
I know.
And they're the best team in the sport this year, or second best record, whatever, in the sport this year. And they have the second or third lowest attendance, obviously, Toronto, but that's because you're in Buffalo half the time and moving around, right? And then Miami, like, it's a joke. So I'm not contradicting. You were trying to soft sell it to try and get the answer, but everybody says they get a bad rap. They don't get a bad rap. They get an appropriate. That is who they are. They don't care about baseball.
I do think that the Rays and Bucks are different. That was my whole point of, I guess, maybe about the overall fan base of, like, we just group it all together.
Yes. Now you're getting to something where it's not that Tampa doesn't love sports. Okay, and obviously they weren't great when Tampa wasn't good when. Tampa Bay wasn't good in football. They like football. They just clearly don't want to go to see professional baseball. What should we expect in tomorrow night's opener? Daniel Jeremiah joins us. That's upcoming next in the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.